Hey, Jay, I got something to host. Where do I host it?
Why, on HostGator, of course. They offer 99.9% uptime and have 24/7, 365 customer support.
Wow, if only I can kick back some of that money to my favorite gaming podcast, Blood and Barrel.
Not only can you do that, but you can save yourself some money in the process.
Tell me how.
Use the checkout code EBPODCAST9 and save 25% off your first order.
Wow, and I still hate you.
See, they're making the sequel to The Seventh Guest, a.k.a. 11th Hour?
Yeah, it's Seventh Guest 3.
Is that what it's actually going to be called?
I don't know. I just saw the headline.
Well, I mean, I think that's not literally Seventh. You're always bad with deciphering with the... You always take, like, the first thing you read as literal. I remember when you were trying to tell me that The Last Guardian was actually going to be called Threeco. And, like, I was like, no, that was just a placeholder name.
I can see that it's a placeholder. I just didn't see anything else.
You suck. Yeah, but the point is that, yeah, that game was scary when I was little. I bet it wouldn't be as scary now, though. But back then, man, those full motion videos, whoa, and the honeycomb game. Do you remember the honeycomb game?
That's the scariest part of all.
That's the bees. Killing me won't bring back your damn honey. That's my terrible Nicolas Cage.
I've never heard you do that voice before.
Did it sound anything like him?
I got the essence.
You knew what it was.
Right.
All right, music. Hello, welcome to Exploding Barrels podcast. Mike Minotti, AJ Minotti, March.
March what, Mike?
X.
Hey.
I want to do the show like a robot now.
No. Nope.
Like a weird one.
Nope.
Like a robot that's kind of programmed to be a human, but not very well.
Like it's like the beta version.
Right. Exactly, yeah. We've been gone for a week vacation.
All right, stop that.
It's fun. I should be a robot. I want to be a robot.
There'd be like an off pirate switch on you. Ooh, gotcha.
Then I'd also be able to murder you. Oh, no, I couldn't because of the rules of robotics. Right. But I would be like that one robot that disobeys
finds,
them.
Like, the loophole.
Yeah, I disobey to justify them. It. And then, like, everyone's like, oh, no, the robots are going to rise. And there's, like, a movie about it. And you know, you can have Will Smith be in it.
Okay.
And we'll call it I, Mike Minotti, Am a Robot.
Mike was infected by robot virus. It's turning him into a robot.
We're back.
God,
we're gone for a week.
A thing.
We were on vacation. Stop goofing around, Edge Guy. And now we're here. We're not doing news, right? You want to do this thing?
We're changing it up.
You're changing it up. I'm being forced into
That's
it.
That's right.
We'll see how this goes.
This is based off some actually earlier feedback that I had a hard time implementing, and I think I figured it out.
How early was the feedback?
A few months ago.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, I thought you meant like back in 2007.
No.
Dude, 5 years ago, I was told I had a problem with the show, and just now I fixed it.
That's right. It's all good.
Well, what was the criticism? That our news is boring?
That we didn't need to like...
Well, that was your fault for not being selective enough for the news.
No, it wasn't even that.
You would
just
bring up things you knew I wasn't interested in, and I'd be like, bleh.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. You didn't play along.
I blame you. Well, what do you want me to, like, cloud gaming? And I'm like,
hey, that's some of our most beloved memories of this show.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I loved when we talked about cloud gaming.
Anyway.
I loved when you were convinced it was a future, and that didn't happen.
PlayStation 4,
your guy K, you'll stream demos, and you can watch people play games. You can't stream real games, though, because it's bullshit. The cloud bullshit. What's that cloud look like? Mommy, it looks like poop.
Anyway, what we're going to do is basically every week I figured each of us will pick two topics that we want to talk about, either from current news or trends or whatever.
What if I pick something like random?
Like, and we gotta talk about it for 20 minutes.
Which Land Before Time sequel was your favorite? What if I say that And what if we...
I'd have to answer, I guess. I could tell you right now it's the second one.
Oh, sure. It was the only decent one.
Yeah.
Well, what was the third? Was the third one the one
No, the third one was when Chomper started talking and he wanted to have them over for
you
dinner.
Always think this. That's the fifth one.
The fifth?
That's the fifth
I'm
one.
I'm pretty sure I was stopped watching by then.
Chomper was
gone. That's the one he sang the song about having friends
for
dinner.
I know. That's the fifth one.
Really?
Yeah, Chomper was gone for a while.
Oh, I didn't know
the
that.
The third one was like the... Great Valley Adventure. No, wait. The second one was a Great Valley Adventure.
Yeah.
The third one, like, they went on another migration for some reason. There's, like, another girl. Like, big... There's a girl Littlefoot or whatever.
Yeah, it's figures.
But... God. Okay, what... Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so... Do you want to go first or you want me to go first? Should we go every other? Should we just do our...
Team? I'm going first.
Okay.
I want to talk about Assassin's Creed 4.
That's a pretty good one to start with.
I want
to
do that. Because I think it looks sweet... And it looks cool.
Do you want a Fezzy wig?
Ah, well, yeah. I do, yeah.
Inside joke.
Okay.
So, okay.
It's going great so far.
I'm going to play the recap game. So, last week,
First off, there's a very leaky ship. Because all the details were leaking. Like, the trailer came out days early.
The box art was on a poster leaked by GameStop.
That always happens. They always, like, send GameStop the promotional poster. Like,
stop
this will
doing
get out.
That.
Minimum wage employees against the world will respect our NDAs.
Look, UPS will deliver on whatever day you want. Right. You don't have to send it early.
Okay, but yeah, and this was rumored before, so we knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just, like, announced it on Monday?
Something like that.
That was while we were gone. But yeah, they announced it. And it, so it's basically, it's you're playing as Haytham's grandfather, Connor's grandfather. So for the first time, we're going, like, back in time again, not forward. There's no Desmond. And they say critically that you are, like, the modern day antagonist, or protagonist. I mean, no one really knows what that means. I wonder if that means... Do you think there's going to be less of a focus on that
Well,
stuff?
The supposition is, like... Well, a lot of this team is who made Revelations, and Revelations have, like, that first-person stuff.
Oh, no.
So, I don't think it's going to play like that, but they've had experience using the engine to work in first-person. So, the modern-day stuff will probably be presented from a first-person perspective with a silent protagonist that is you... Talking to, like...
Is that what they really mean?
It's possible, because, well...
I hope they don't mean
basically what they're saying is
that.
Abstergo, the company that is the Templar front, basically, there's Abstergo Industries, and now there's going to be Abstergo Entertainment. And you're an employee at Abstergo Entertainment who is being hooked into the Animus, which is now so technologically advanced, you don't even need to be a descendant of the person to look at their memories, which really doesn't make sense.
It's just plot, whatever.
You're like being paid to go through Edward Kenway, is it?
Yeah.
To go through his memories to find what they're looking for.
It seems very much like they just didn't want to do the Desmond thing anymore.
Yeah, they realize no one cares. They just want to be a pirate.
But
you still need that framework because it is part of the series.
Isn't it weird how, like, for, like, some people are like, oh, someday there's going to be the modern day Assassin's Creed where you just play as Desmond, and that always sounded terrible to me?
Yeah.
But going back a little bit, this is more of a general statement, but that idea that just because you have a silent protagonist, somehow it better projects you onto him is such bullshit to me. I hate that argument so much. When I play Half-Life or Zelda, I do not think that I am that character any more than I think I'm crazy.
No.
But that's the argument.
You can treat it different ways. Half-Life makes no bones about the fact that you're Gordon Freeman. But they let you kind of color that.
If you ask them why Gordon Freeman is silent, I guarantee you they'll give you that bullshit response because you're Gordon Freeman.
Okay, that's possible, but it's different.
That's how Shiggy feels about Zelda. He's like, oh, you are Link. You're the Link between the game. Like, no, I'm not Link. Link's Link.
This game is literally saying, like, it's not like you are playing the role of...
I understand
Jeffrey
that.
Miles.
But if their only way of doing that is by making it a silent protagonist who doesn't have a name, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And I hate that shit. I really do.
I'm playing a video game.
I understand it's not me. I don't care. If I wanted to be me, I wouldn't be playing a video game. I'd just be doing me stuff.
Well, that's what they're saying is you playing the game is that guy. Because the Animus is just a video game.
If that's what that means, then I expect there to actually be very little...
then I don't want to see the present they represented in the game. I want it to be understood that I am in the Animus right now. I'm on controller. Like, maybe before the game begins, you can have, like, some dialogue over a black screen while I'm being plugged in. But that's it. If that's the direction they're going, like, I do not want to be constantly zipping back to the present day in a lab, and I'm in first person, and people are talking to me while I don't say anything like a goddamn idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want... I'm sick of that shit. And, like, Silent Protagonist can be okay. Like I said, I like Gordon Freeman a lot.
Yeah, right.
But I hate this idea that it's like, oh, you're projecting onto him somehow better than you... You're connecting with them. Like, no.
No.
I hate that crap. And that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of worried about that.
As long as they let me be a badass pirate, I'll be
but,
fine.
Yeah, well, that's the cool thing here is that we all know that the naval stuff worked really well in Assassin's Creed 3. And it's like, and the idea now is that, what, 40% of this game will be that.
Isn't it amazing how quickly this happened? I feel like Assassin's Creed 3 came out, and everyone was like, oh, make the pirate game. And like,
they're like, okay.
Oh, we already were.
Maybe they knew. Maybe they
I guess. Like, maybe they like, they were like, hey, we're on to something here. Like, maybe, yeah, you're right. But
okay.
No, there was the trailer. It's it's very Assassin's Creed-y.
I mean, it's a trailer. There's not like much video really of the game. It's a lot of like, the one trailer was like Blackbeard talking, and it looks cool. Like there's that cool moment where like there's like that one guy kind of with a prostitute, I guess, and you like kind of just like walk up to the guy, murder him, and then you take the prostitute in your arm, and just keep walking.
Yeah,
that's cool. What I do like is, and they said. Now, I like Assassin's Creed 3 a lot, and of course, now everyone's taking this opportunity to come out and talk about, oh, the problems with Assassin's Creed 3 again, because everybody hates Assassin's Creed 3, apparently. But the one thing that has sort of bothered me about the series in general is that they've been getting away from the sort of open nature of the assassinations.
Yeah,
Assassin's Creed 1 was very good at that.
Yeah.
Where, like, really, the mission would just be kill this guy.
He's over there.
Yeah, and go figure out how to do it. Whereas, like, when up to Assassin's Creed 3, it's very linear. Like, and, you know, it's not like, it's not so much, it's not, it kind of loses, like, the thiefiness of it, where it's like, oh, go inside,
well, that
how are you going to even get inside, and blah, blah, blah.
The openness existed, but it was in the, like, the generic side missions.
Right, no, exactly, but, yeah, but.
The main stuff never really had.
The problem is, like, anymore. Yeah, you didn't really have that fundamental.
No, you entered the restricted zone, and it was red on the mini-map, and that was kind of where the mission was supposed to take place.
Like, surprisingly, like, a lot of the times, like, it would, the guy you had to assassinate, it would literally be, like, a fight, you know?
Right.
Like, there's no way to really sneak up on him and stuff like that. So I'm kind of glad they want to get back to that philosophy of it a bit more. And, you know, to be honest, like, I think they could probably do with a few less subsystems.
Yeah.
Like, I like the homestead stuff in Assassin's Creed 3 a lot. But with that...
Well, let me ask you, how many assassins did you recruit while you were playing 3? I think I had 2.
Well, actually, I did a lot, but it was more for a completionist's sake. But, like, you don't really need it. You didn't really need that there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that whole, like caravan system that
That didn't matter at all.
I think 2% of people... Like, I messed with it a little bit, but the problem with that, too, is, like, the whole point of that was that you got these bonus items, which you don't really need.
Yeah, and it seems like... They're finding ways to make the economy important in this game by really tying it into your ship.
But, I mean, Revelations had a similar problem. Was Revelations the one with all the bomb-making? You didn't need to make a single
exactly.
bomb.
Exactly.
It's like there's all like, these intricately like, different stuff. Bombs you can make.
Yeah,
and
it was like, what?
It's like, none of them matter because you have a blade.
The only time I ever used them were, like, there were missions where, like, it had those secondary objectives. And it was like... assassinate with a bomb. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay, I guess I'm going to use a bomb.
I see. I kind of want to get back to... Like, really relying on the hidden blade a lot more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's kind of cool.
I didn't really see it in that trailer at all, except for when he killed that guy.
Yeah.
It was more like, look, I have 4 flintlock pistols.
Right. Which
is kind of sweet.
Which is kind of cool, and it makes sense because, you know, now you don't have to reload pistols. But, like, you know, I don't want it to be all pistols all the time.
Yeah. Well, he also had 2 swords.
Mm-hmm.
It's very piratey. I also, like, they've barely touched on it, but I wonder what it could mean. It'll be the first game to feature, like, actual underwater play. Like, you always had, like, the thing where you could kind of, like, go
dive.
Underwater and swim that, like, hid you, but there's, like, actual, like, swimming around and looking for stuff. I wonder how they'll handle that.
So, now people can say what they will about Assassin's Creed 3, but it was a very big game.
Right.
Like, the scope was big. Like, you could tell it wasn't just, like, made in a year. Do you think the scope's going to be smaller with this one?
I don't know, like... I guess it's the Revelations team, like I said. So it's not like they've only been working on it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it should because it's Assassin's Creed 4. You know?
It is weird that we're just calling it Assassin's Creed 4 in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
The naming conventions are so weird for this, because it's like, well, Brotherhood and Revelations aren't, like, not main releases.
Yeah.
But they don't have a number. But this one does.
This has a number and a subtitle.
Yeah, yeah. Now we have a number and a subtitle, which never happened before. It's like, okay, I'm confused.
Now, did you see, I saw it today, where they talked about how they're drawing from the best of the last five Assassin's Creed games. Well, it's like, yeah, you're making a sequel. Isn't that?
Yeah, what does that mean?
The nature.
But we're only picking the shitty parts.
When he was, like, talking about the stuff they're pulling, he's like, well, we're bringing back, like, the openness of Assassin's Creed 1 and the, I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't know, some bullshit thing from 2 and some bullshit thing from Brotherhood.
Probably character stuff, too.
Yeah. The best is when he got to Revelations. He's like, Revelations look good. So we're doing that.
It didn't look any worse than the other ones. It looked fine.
I was like, I wonder what's he going to say about Revelations, the tower defense thing, like, yeah, the bomb making.
The hook blade was
nice. It looked good. And those are the guys making this one, so it's going to look good, too.
They could bring the hook blade back.
I like
probably
the hook
won't,
blade.
They but
won't.
They could.
Now, this is coming. They did say it's going to be PS4 and mysterious next-gen consoles, whatever that
could be. I wonder what. Yeah. I wonder if, I guess, like, one of the things is that there's going to be some sort of always online component to the next gen versions.
Oh, really?
Like a single player sort of, like, yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
I bet you'll see like people from the Animus, like other people playing, like a Dark Souls kind of thing.
Okay,
which would be neat.
Kind of fun.
But I'm interested to see like what the graphical difference would be.
Well, you don't need to look much further than like the PC versions of the last few.
Well, even so, I wonder if it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, since it's like more of a focus.
Right.
But that's weird, too, because they did say it's, what, November 1st?
October something.
I mean, if it is, then it's October 31st.
Something
around the same time as 3.
What?
Apparently, which will probably be before the console launches.
Yeah. There's already TV commercials right now, which is weird.
Yeah, it's really... It's like, this game went from, like, rumored leaks to full-blown here it is very quickly.
I like seeing people complaining about this, though. So people are like, oh, they're maddening the franchise. I'm like, this series has been yearly releases for a long time.
Yeah,
now.
Since it 2. They've been 1 a year.
Damn. I don't know. I have no problem with it.
I got nothing.
They've been making pretty good games, so I don't care.
I didn't tell you this. This is, here, just a quick anecdote. You'll find this amusing. So I had a phone interview for a job today.
Yeah.
And I'm talking with this guy from the HR department.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going through my resume. And I put the podcast on my media resume because it's good media work. Yeah. So he's asking me about it, and I'm telling him about it, you know, the podcast, and I explain it's a video game podcast, and he goes, so you're a gamer, huh? And I go, yeah. And he goes, what do you think about the Assassin's Creed 4? And I was like, oh, I think it's going to be pretty good. He then starts for like 5 or 6 minutes talking to me about Assassin's Creed.
That's funny.
I'm like, you should listen to my podcast tomorrow. That's what we're going to talk about.
Right.
So, I mean, people give a shit. Like,
oh, no, no.
Super excited.
Oh. Assassin's Creed is a very big franchise for... What do you call...
Ubisoft.
No. What do you call people that aren't core gamers but aren't casual gamers? Gamers?
Like, the guys who play, like this guy, all he plays is Assassin's Creed and Tiger Woods. He said those are the only two video games he plays.
It's kind of... I'm still really impressed with how mainstream Assassin's Creed is for not being a shooter or sports game.
Yeah, it's kind of like in that same thing that like Skyrim is in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, exactly. So, I'm very excited for Black.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy that... You see what they said, like the way they want to treat the pirate story. They said, like, everyone's kind of used to this, like, Disney Pirates of the Caribbean version of pirates. They're approaching it like if HBO were making a show about pirates.
Okay.
Like, with that kind of tone and...
Be interesting.
And flavor to it. And, we'll see if they hold true to that. I mean, like, one of the examples they point to is how he... You know, he got out of bed and there was, like, a naked girl in the bed. Then a second girl got up and she was black. That's racy and edgy, Mike.
You're kind of losing me now.
Yeah, I know. So it's like I said, like...
I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah,
so we'll see if they pull it off.
I hope they don't try to, like, oh, it's adult because swearing and boobs. Honestly, it is one thing. Like, I hope this story is real solid. Because as much as I like the characters in 3, the story was all right.
Well, I think part of the problem was 3's story tried to root itself too much in really well-known history. or at least what people think is well-known history.
Yeah.
Like, the Renaissance, you've got some wiggle
room.
It's
almost like there's too much that they had to recreate.
Yeah, like, we have to go to the Battle of Bunker Hill. Like, we have to do George Washington.
We have to do George Washington. We have to do the Paul Revere ride. We have to do the Tea Party.
Yeah, like, I didn't need the Paul Revere part.
And it was getting a little Forrest Gumpy. Where it was like, yeah. Connor's at all these incredibly important historical events.
But he really didn't affect them in any way.
Yeah, but he was in the background, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, they have a little more freedom. Like, it's more about the time period than
the weird thing is, like,
because,
but there was also no really, there's no, it's funny because we're criticizing 3 so much after I was criticizing people for criticizing it too much. But there's no real payoff for the, like, the sort of Revolutionary War aspect of the story.
Right.
You know? So, that's one. All right, what's your thing? What do you want to talk about?
So, you kind of mentioned a little bit, but so SimCity came out the other day.
Yeah, I don't care still.
I know you don't. But what's interesting to me is this is now the second major PC release to come out with an always online requirement for what is ostensibly
a single player
game.
After Diablo 3.
Yes.
And apparently it's having the same problems Diablo 3 had.
From what I stand right now, you still can't reliably play it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 2 days. Is anyone going to get this right?
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, here's the thing, AJ. I think I said this with Diablo 3 is, and I don't know if it's intentional or not, but if you want to literally compensate for the launch server capacity, you're going to be spending a lot of money on servers that are only going to be used to full capacity for about a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like if they realize they're not going to have enough for launch, but they're going to have enough to go on, and people are going to buy the game anyways because they can look at Diablo 3's numbers and say, yeah, people didn't care. As much as they complain about this shit, they all bought Diablo 3, so I guess they're all fine with this. And there you go.
But in some ways, I feel like, well, Diablo 3 can get away with it because it is a very successful, established franchise. And to say SimCity isn't.
Oh, SimCity is. SimCity might make more money than Diablo 3.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah. SimCity's huge.
Okay. There's got to be a solution. Besides, sure. Well, we're just going to turn on the game and hope.
We could not buy it.
Well, like some kind of staggered release, like digital collector's editions get the game a week early, and then pre-orders get it 4 days early, and then it'll come out. Like, they didn't even do preloads.
That's weird.
And other games on Origin have offered preloads. I don't know why they didn't find that to be a priority, because it wasn't even now just a matter of people playing it, but people downloading it. Like, people couldn't even download it for a day. And Origin just buckled under the pressure.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God.
Like, no, they kind of did with... Didn't they have a problem with Mass Effect 3? I don't know if they had download problems.
You had huge problems
with
it.
Well, my problem was mostly with their lack of English-speaking customer support, but yeah.
Yeah. I understand why it's online, because it is DRM is part of it, but also, like, there is the online social part of it, and I guess they're saying, too, that...
Yeah, but it sucks that they force that crap on
people.
Well,
they're even saying, like, the cloud is computing some of this, like, all the back-end stuff. Your computer can't handle those maths.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Those maths are too much.
It's just weird, because, like, depending on who you ask, this game is either, like, incredible or... Like, I've seen, like, all people complain about how, like, it doesn't have a lot of the features that SimCity 2000 had.
Well, it's
like watered
it's
down compared to that.
Because, like,
yeah,
you know, you don't build your utility lines separately. They're all just, like, kind of connected, like, to roads.
Okay.
The road
it's
is assumed
like
to have
or something.
A sewer running under it and yeah. to have electrical going along
that's
it.
Fine by me.
Yeah, that's fine by me, too.
Apparently,
I don't
like,
need
the
to
actual
run
city
it.
Size you can build is a lot smaller than it was in 2000, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, like I said, I don't know. People just, like, it's like what Cliffy B said. People love to hate EA. And sometimes it's justified.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you know, this always online stuff, we're probably going to be dealing with it a lot, especially with the next systems.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think this is going to move into the consoles, and will it be any better there?
I don't know. I think it will move in. I don't know if it'll be any better. Microsoft might have more servers than EA does.
So even, like... I think I said this about some MMO launches.
But even like, if you play like Halo 4 the day it comes out, you're going to have server issues. It's always kind of the problem. The problem now, it's like we almost kind of expect to have multiplayer games. We know it's going to get better. But it's a hard pill for people to swallow with a single player aspect.
Like when this all was announced, like, you know, SimCity... Always online required, and after what happened,
I mean,
Diablo 3.
Everyone knew this was going to happen.
Exactly, that's what I said. Like, but When do people stop trying to play the game at midnight?
Well, that's why I'm kind of questioning the sanity of anybody who bought this game on launch.
It's like a fool me once, fool me twice.
Yeah, just wait a week. I don't know.
It's shitty that you can't play it right now, 2 days later.
Yeah, but you should still know better.
I want to know who thought that on Monday night at midnight they were going to be playing SimCity without a problem.
It's shitty that, you know, bees will sting you and not just be your friend and give you honey, but I mean... When you go up to a beehive, you're like, woo, party bees! Woo, you're not going to get pissed at the bees, I mean... You know what you're getting into.
I know,
it sucks, but I mean, you don't have to give them your money.
Yeah.
If you don't want to.
I feel like in this situation, like a company as big as EA, and these are like, it sounds like they could be more general servers. There's got to be a way to have like a reserve. Like you talked about, you can't have all these servers because you're not ultimately going to need them. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a way to have like a bank of servers that you just use on launch day for your different games.
Yeah.
Like for that first week, you turn on like the auxiliary server room. And they handle extra load, and then when everything stabilizes, you turn that off. There's got to be an answer.
Servers may as well be goddamn magic to me. Like, if you tell me to picture a server, I have no idea what the fuck I'm looking at.
It's a computer, Mike.
I wasn't even 100% on that, to be honest. I had a hunch, but like I remember there's a weird thing where like Blizzard was selling old Warcraft servers, and I was looking at them. They looked like frisbee discs.
That was a blade of a server.
And I was like, that's what a fucking server is. Because I'm still not sure if like the server is like the internet where it's not really a thing. Like it's like more of an idea. Like I don't know if we're just like sectioning off parts of the internet and calling it a server. It's like a county, you know. It's like a county of the internet. I don't know what the hell a server is. We need more servers. Oh, where do you? Everybody wishes. I don't know. I have no idea. All right. Okay. So yeah, SimCity. I don't know. It's supposed to be good. Polygon had to lower their score to an 8 after the launch issues from a 9.5.
That's been another big annoyance of mine, which I'm glad you reminded me. I didn't want to talk about that as part of this. Like,
but
people are really pissed off about that.
What about Polygon? Isn't that what they do?
Yeah,
I thought that was from day one their policy.
Well, people are saying that it's been a stupid policy all along, and this is just proving that point.
I think it's an okay policy. What's the problem with it?
Who's that guy? Ian Bogost? I'm fucking up his name.
Ian.
I've seen him come up before. He's some kind of professor and writes a lot about video games. Mm-hmm. He's like a freelance guy.
I don't know.
But he basically came out, like, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said on Twitter, oh, you guys are shit. And, like, every Polygon editor on Twitter freaked out. They're like, how dare you?
I heard about this because apparently no one looked good in it.
No.
Because
he looked like an asshole who was just cursing, and they all looked like a bunch of really overly defensive, like, don't say mean things about us. We always like you, but don't be mean.
I always hate when like the whole team has to come out and defend something. It's like, okay, guys, yeah, we get it.
Yeah,
it was like your own stuff.
It was really stupid. Really stupid. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
I'm in it. Let's write more game journalism stories about game journalism. I almost wrote a comic today.
Yo, dog, I heard you like game journalism, so I put game journalism in your game journalism.
I almost wrote a comic, and I just couldn't make it funny because it was just sad. Where Bug was going to be like, I'm going to be a games journalist. And Bug is going to be like, what does that mean? He's like, I was going to only write articles criticizing and calling out gaming journalists.
Probably be really popular.
It probably would be. He's like, hey, get Bank of Charity write for or something.
Yeah, but basically, the crux of it is like it's just this weird fuzzy thing where like the game got a 9.5, but they're like, oh well, the servers are broke, so we're gonna change our score to 8.5, but the Metacritic the Metacritic's not gonna change, and
it
we're
should probably not be on Metacritic
and
with
we'll
this system.
We'll change it back when the servers get fixed, if they get fixed.
Well,
can't you just say it's a 9.5 game, but the servers are broken? Wait a week.
Maybe we shouldn't have scores.
Whoa!
No!
Whoa! Don't get nuts here.
God,
look,
no,
look,
we
man.
Can't do that.
Computer
How will
gaming.
Get their
computer gaming world tried that, and it was a disaster.
that no one will read. How do I know what the game's good? You could just read the last paragraph. It's a summary. I don't want to even read that.
That's true. And Polygon's good about that. The last paragraph summaries aren't bad.
Last paragraph's always a summary, but no. God.
People want a number, Mike. How good is
I'll
your
give
game?
I'm a number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thanks, Lucy.
That's my number. Pow!
Right in the schnoz.
Right in the schnoz. What is this game good? And then, of course, there's always, like, the people come out and, like, oh, we'll show them. We'll go to Amazon.com, and we'll give the game a 1.
So downvoters.
Now when people go to Amazon to buy some city, they're going to see a low customer score and buy it anyways. Okay, guess what? Some city's going to make a lot of money. Okay, what's next?
It's your turn.
My turn. Hey, what the hell's happening with Respawn Entertainment? Because they haven't made a game yet. And half of its founders are leaving.
Yeah.
So which one's leaving, Zampella or West?
West.
These guys may as well be like Ben and Jerry's, because they're like, they're this one person to me. They might as well be selling ice cream.
Jason West has retired.
He's a young guy, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
And there's like
he left the studio for family reasons, but did not indicate exactly when he stepped down. Apparently, he's been like gone for a while.
Yeah, apparently, we just now notice his absence.
They said they're coming to E3. Respawn.
For what?
They're gonna show their game.
Okay, there's so many things I want to talk about here. First off, what kind of family issues can make you retire from your profession? Do you think there are really family issues?
Maybe someone's sick. I don't want to say anything
sure
out of turn.
Okay, like there's a chance that something so dramatic has happened that he can't have a career anymore.
Okay,
I think it's far more likely that there's something happened that maybe needs his attention. Needs his attention. Someone's sick, or you know.
Are you saying like 6 months? Like we're going to hear Jason West now working for Ubisoft, or he's working for Google? Like not even the games industry.
Like what could be so dramatic that like I can't work anymore? Like that's intense, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when you like were supposedly gonna, I don't know, I assume work on a pretty big game, but it's just kind of. I mean, it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah,
it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing was like, we're going to make our own Call of Duty.
But it's in the future.
It's going to be bigger and better than Activision's because they were mean to us. We'll show them. So now it's just the one guy. Do you think anyone's going to care? This is a next-gen game. It has to be, right?
I would assume at this point.
Is there room for another one of these?
I don't think so. Medal of Honor kind of proved that to me.
Yeah, no one cared about Medal of Honor.
Spec Ops The Lines couldn't really find an audience.
Like, there's a bunch of other shooters now. That's the kind of the problem with this Call of Duty Halo thing. I mean, like Halo has its thing because it's been around longer and it does the sci-fi thing. But you kind of have Call of Duty. And Battlefield was able to kind of form its own niche. Battlefield was like basic.
Battlefield was its vehicles and its scope.
It's
Call
different.
Of Duty is the same thing, but a much smaller scale. So that's why they could kind of coexist.
Their marketing was somehow very well positioned as like saying like, "Hey, if you don't like Call of Duty, you should play Battlefield. That'll show them." Which like a lot of people did.
Like, yeah, whatever.
We'll
people
show
like
them this other popular series. Yeah. I know. I'm certainly have a hard time caring. I'm sure it's going to be expensive looking, but it's sort of weird because it's for EA, right?
Yeah.
So EA's going to have this thing, and they're going to have the new Bungie game.
No, Activision's Bungie.
It's all confusing.
Yeah, right?
Activision's Bungie?
Yeah, Activision is working with Bungie for Infinity.
Then maybe EA can use this.
Or not Infinity, it's Destiny.
Whatever the fuck it's called.
Disney Infinity, Jesus.
But at least with Destiny, there's some sort of hook to it, like this idea of like this really consistent big world. Like, what if Respawn's Entertainment is just like another corridor shooter?
Yeah,
who's gonna care?
Yeah,
like oh, since the kind of future, like
Black
maybe
the campaign
2.
Will be longer than 4 hours.
I don't think they need to be longer than 4 hours. That's I was asking on Twitter actually. I was like, okay, what should I play after I beat Ni No Kuni? DMC, Tomb Raider, or Rising? And I'm kind of ruling out DMC just because I have this a feeling it's going to be really cheap by summer.
Yeah.
Like I could probably get it on Steam for like $20 or something.
If even that.
Yeah. But like a lot of people were telling me Not Rising, and like their main reason was that it was short. Like, oh, 6 hours long. And I'm like, eh.
Go Redbox that shit.
No, my point really is like, I don't need an action game to be much longer than 6 hours long.
I feel like that too. Maybe it's a byproduct of me getting older. Maybe it's because there's so many games now. But I don't have, unless it's like an exceptional game, something like a Skyrim, I don't have more than 6 to 8 hours to put into a game anymore. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, by the time I could finish a 6 to 8 hour game in real lifetime, the next thing's out.
No, all right. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with like being able to beat a game in a week.
Yeah, that's sometimes kind of nice.
A game that's 6 hours long does not bother me, especially when it's an action game where there's a lot of repetitive
action.
Sometimes not even to its fault. It's just that's what it is. You know, it's an action game. What are you gonna, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna all of a sudden be open world and you know. With RPG elements, I think I'd be okay if Rising being 6 hours long. I think I'll probably get Tomb Raider though. Apparently that's good.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the PC version too. If I get it,
I'm not leaning towards that, but you don't even have a good PC.
I meet the requirements.
Mm.
I wish it was a demo,
but there's no way it would look better on an X. I don't know why you would get the PC version.
I'm just kind of future proof myself,
right?
Oh. Go Penny, see who it is.
Somebody's out. All right. Okay, so that's that. What's your last one?
So I want to talk a little bit more about free-to-play stuff because there's some...
Ew.
There's a big thing that happened in the iOS space for free-to-play where
something big happened in console free-to-play while we were gone that...
Yeah, I know. I was going to talk about that, too.
Okay, cool.
So Real Racing 3, which is now published by EA, came out. Real Racing is kind of like one of the premier racing titles on iOS because it looks really good, mm-hmm. right? And so this new one comes out. It's free to play now. And it is all like that Farmville free to play shit where it's like, hey, you bought a new engine for your car. It's going to take a few hours to install it. But, you know, if you give us $5, it'll install right now.
That's nice.
Yeah, and it's like, what the fuck? No. As far as I'm concerned, there are two basic ways of two basic free-to-play models as I see it. I'm being very reductionist here. There's two. Yeah, maybe three. The two I want to talk about. There's the Farmville model. This thing where most of the game is waiting for something to happen in the background, and you can pay to remove the time gate.
Yeah, I know.
And the other one is like League of Legends.
Yeah.
Where you have rotating free content that you could permanently unlock or just keep enjoying the rotating stuff. Doesn't a racing game sound pretty
kind of fitting? Tailor-made for the League of Legends model?
Yeah, like every week there's like four cars that are unlocked for you to race. And if you like that car, you buy it.
Nah.
Or you buy parts for it.
I guess not.
Like, that seems... If I play Real Racing, and after 3 days, I'm like, I don't want to wait for this, and I have no intention of spending money, I'm never playing it again. I will never touch it again. Mm-hmm. Unless maybe someday I'm like, oh, I'll just do a race, whatever. But if there's the promise of new cars coming out and some always coming content, and I don't feel limited, like the game's not letting me play it, I'm far more likely to A, play it longer than 3 days, and B, actually spend some money.
But I'm kind of bringing it up. I think what Uncharted 3 is going to be doing with free-to-play is pretty interesting.
Well, theirs is weird, and it's kind of building off almost in a weird way what happened with Tribes now, where there's, you know, you can buy weapons and boosters and all that stuff.
But why don't you say what it is? It's the full game.
You know it better than me, so.
It's the full multiplayer game, like what you would get if you bought the normal version of Uncharted 3. Like, you don't get any of, like, the DLC that they added or anything. And what basically happens is when you get to level 15, you stop gaining levels. And when you stop gaining levels, you stop unlocking, like, weapons and...
Character
model stuff. And you can buy all that stuff individually, though. Or you can just pay money to either increase your level cap once, just, like, basically unlock the full multiplayer mode.
And that's the interesting part is there is a maximum. In theory, you don't have to spend more than the price of, you know, Uncharted Game of the Year edition to just get everything. And same thing with Tribes. You can buy it piecemeal, like just the $10 of content you want, You just pay $30 and get it all.
You literally can upgrade it to the Game of the Year edition, and you'll get the single player and everything like that.
Yeah.
But you could just not pay anything and play Uncharted 3 multiplayer. Which is neat. It's weird to see a commitment given to a franchise like that. Like, not something that was the fact that it's console is cool, but it's not this is a console free to play thing. No, they just took a pre-existing multiplayer experience and made it free to play.
Kind of chunked it up, but yeah,
not too chunked up.
No, it's pretty good. And the nice thing too is if you hit that level 15 cap and keep playing, you're unlocking stuff in the background.
Yeah.
And as soon as you pay whatever, you'll retroactively get everything,
right?
Which is
it
smart. Keeps
track of it. Very nice.
Very smart. I just think it's interesting because one of the suppositions of free to play is that, you know, even if though you may only spend $5 on League of Legends, there's that guy who has spent $1,000 on League of Legends, and so the average spend per user something $200. Whereas if it was just a $60 box product, then it's just $60.
Mm-hmm.
But Tribes and Uncharted are saying that's okay. We understand there's a ceiling. And if we hit that ceiling, great. And if we can get some additional people to spend $10 who would have never spent 30,
yeah,
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of two different philosophies on how you're going to make your money in free to play. I think what Uncharted's doing is more consumer friendly.
Well, they're both definitely better than buying in-game money that you use to make things go faster.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's better than waiting for meters to fill.
Well, I'm playing this game right now just because I can play it when I'm.
I don't even know why you play. I haven't even played a game like that in years. I don't even bother.
I'm at work where I get 10 seconds on my phone. Still. So I'm playing Clash of Clans. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Clash of Clans.
It's kind of fun, except right now I'm waiting for a building to build. It's going to take 8 hours.
No, see,
I
just wouldn't even play it.
Yeah, I'm getting to a point now where to do anything else, when you build a level 1 building, it takes 5 minutes. You're whatever. Like I said, 8 hours? Fuck that. I got shit to do.
Can't wait till the next day.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. I mean, there's a reason why Zynga is fucked right now. They were really big, they had all the money in the world, and right now they're trying to become Virtual Vegas as a last-ditch effort to stay solvent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason. People wised up. They're like, oh, you know what? This is actually really fucking boring.
It's the future, just like cloud gaming. A lot of things are the future.
Look, I think the League of Legends thing is very viable.
I think it's a viable option. I think
the Team Fortress thing is viable, where it's just all cosmetics.
Yeah, yeah.
Team Fortress is making a lot of money for Valve right now.
Well, it's not all cosmetics. It's with the man versus machine weird thing with buying that.
Oh, yeah. That's
just
neat.
To unlock cosmetics.
Cosmetics, yeah. See, ultimately, that's where it all goes. Yeah. People like to look cool.
Understand.
This is why I bought the horse armor.
Oh, my God. You were like the pioneer of stupid DLC when you bought the horse armor. God. All right. Is that it? Yeah.
That's it. So, I like that.
Yeah, I think that worked well.
Yeah.
And I thought it would. Do we want to talk about games we've been playing a little bit? I mean, I don't have much to say. I mean, we're on vacation.
Yeah.
I beat Link's Awakening finally.
There you
go.
I
just wanted to say because, that's the first time I beat it. And I played the game since it's been out.
Yeah.
Since 94. Three
something like that.
So I finally beat that. It was very good. I also beat through the original Four Swords because they released that. Very short, actually.
Yeah.
And I beat Mega Man 2 a few more times.
There you go.
Put some more time into Ni No Kuni, which I still love. And I got the iPad version of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I've been playing that too. It's a great version.
I just I love these digital versions of these card games because I don't have to, Because, whenever we play these games, there's always a point where we, don't understand a rule.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you try to find out what it means online, we still don't quite understand it.
Now the game just does it for you.
No, the game's figuring it out, yeah.
Damage counters and all that. Remember?
Yeah, screw that.
We had those buckets of those fucking blue and yellow damage counters from the Pokemon card game. I wonder where those all are.
Somewhere. All right.
I played Real Racing and Clash of Clans. That's really about it.
Don't stop playing Fire Emblem.
I know.
God.
I will.
All right. What's next?
So let's go to the Google Pluses.
Okay.
So in the wake of the PS4, I asked everyone what they thought.
Seems like a long time ago now already.
I know, right? That was a while ago. The basic sentiment from everybody on the PS4 is a lot of people are saying it's too early to tell, which wasn't my question, guys. I just want to know your gut reaction. Come on, work with me here. But There was
people are too afraid to commit.
I know.
Because they know I'm going to call them all out.
That's right.
Wrong.
That's right. Michael Holt grudges everybody.
Yeah.
Fair warning. You know, Jeff Grubb was saying how, you know, the target videos really aggravate him because...
That's like the weird thing. It's like, are they target videos?
That's the thing. We
it's
don't
like,
know.
My gut wants to say yes. Like, when I... Like, what was... Like,
well, again,
Killzone 3 kind of looked target video-y, but there's what was the one that looked
Capcom
really?
Looks super...
Capcom looks
oh,
so...
Oh, there's no way that's a
that
game.
That was a complete I'm target sorry. Video. Yeah, complete.
I'm sorry. I mean, the general sentiment is like, yeah, the system, the promises made sound good, but Sony doesn't have the best track record of keeping their promises on hardware. Remember, like, the PlayStation 3 with two HDMI ports that connected to the cell processor in your blender?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that went well.
Well, the Vita kind of delivered, though, except for sales. But I mean,
hey, and games.
Although apparently it's selling a lot better in Japan since that price drop. Like it quadrupled in sales or something. It's
funny how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and then like I asked people too, like, is the Wii U fucked?
Yeah.
And the general consensus is kinda.
I don't know. I know everybody wants to say that the Wii U is dead, but I still kind
of... I mean, a lot of people still think the Wii U is going to hang on to its niche... you know, Nintendo like, games and quirky little things. Like, and I feel like if Nintendo would full-on embrace that, be like, you know what? Indies, come to us. You know, we will now have the less expensive platform to develop for. We have some unique things you could do with this controller that, like, a bigger company may not want to take the risk on. We'll be your safe haven. But I don't think Nintendo has the culture for that. They
probably
just don't.
Not. Probably not. What else to say?
We'll play some fucking Zelda on it, I guess.
I guess so.
Let's see. Like, I don't think the Wii U stands a chance. I really don't mind.
Who said that?
I'm sorry. I'm just going through. Chris Whittington says, I don't think the Wii U stands a chance after seeing the Sony conference last night.
Well, I have a chance.
Microsoft will surely have something
like the GameCube. The worst thing that could happen is that would be like the GameCube. And the GameCube still, like, made it. It's still kind of chugging along. I like the GameCube, by the way. The GameCube's like one of my favorite
systems.
Oh, I know,
but...
No one likes the GameCube, but...
Like, okay, Assassin's Creed 4 will come to Wii U, because there's going to be an Xbox and PS3 version. What happens with Assassin's Creed 5 or 6 when they make it just for the PS4 and the next Xbox?
That's a big question.
Right, it's the Wii all over
again.
Well, that's
again, it could be like the GameCube again. They don't get Assassin's Creed.
The GameCube got all that stuff, because it was technically competent to everything.
Yeah, but not a lot of people were playing. Like, well, especially back then, everybody played just about all that multi-platform stuff on PS2.
Yeah.
Like, people forget, like, the discrepancy between the PS2 and the Xbox on GameCube was ridiculous. All right, is that it?
Also, Jeff Grubb said my Zoop thing was right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody.
You forgot the releases, Mike.
Oh, shit. Okay, what do we have?
Tomb Raider, SimCity, a new Naruto game.
There's always I swear to God,
there's
got to
be like a million
released
of these.
At least 50 of them since we've been doing this podcast.
I know.
Like,
we
I'm
should
not
find
even,
that
like,
out.
Exaggerating.
Someone find that out for us.
Who's playing on these Naruto games?
Someone. They're making them. They wouldn't make them for nothing.
God.
The Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate, which is too many subtitles, is out for the 3DS.
That has some weird discrepancies on the reviews.
It's all over. Like, Jasmine hated it.
Jasmine
but, like,
hated it. And I'll tell you what. Like, I played it for like maybe 5 minutes at E3. I kind of got the feeling it might not be good, but like there's some people who are like 90.
Here's a game you're fucking playing.
Oh yeah, I guess the embargo's up for MLB the Show. It's the baseball. It's good.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Everyone's like, oh, the review embargo is at 7, but the game comes out at midnight. It's fucking stupid. And I was like, yeah, it is, but at the same time, do you really need a review to know if you like MLB the Show at this point?
Like, honestly, like, I'm going to be writing my review tomorrow. I'm almost not looking forward to it. It's just, like, it's hard to review this game. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, it's
fucking baseball.
It's good. I mean, they cracked it, like, 5 years ago, how to make a good baseball game, you know? They didn't, like, blow it. It's just like,
And MLB 2K13 came out, car pack for Forza, gold edition of Total War 2. Another Naruto game for the 3DS. God. Oh, that Mass Effect.
There's 2 this week. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not lying. There had to have been 50 of them since we've been doing this podcast.
It's pretty good. It's a lot of games. The Mass Effect 3 DLC, the last one, came out.
DMC DLC.
Yeah, and the Showdown Effect, which I have a beta code for that. I haven't gotten a chance to try it.
I played the beta for it. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Okay.
was like, eh, okay. All right.
All right, now you can do your thing.
Thanks for listening to the EBP podcast, everybody.
Hey, you said it right.
What?
You didn't say EBP podcast
right.
You usually do.
Please go to our Google Plus community and engage with us on our topics this week that we talked about.
And give us some feedback on the new format we're trying. I enjoyed it. I feel like it felt well.
All right.
That was terrible.
Go to Twitter at twitter.com/explainingbarrel and our Facebook at facebook.com/explainingbarrel. Go to ebpodcast.com to find all our old episodes and leave us a review on iTunes.
And I also want to say real quick, Jeff Cannata is doing a Kickstarter for his own video show.
You don't need to pip out his thing.
I want to. I like Jeff Cannata a lot.
He's like four times over.
Yeah, I know. He's killing it right now. But still, couldn't hurt to.
He's going
to
have his show. Off. Don't worry. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Revelations look good.